Now I'm turning back to our first reading, our Old Testament reading in Psalm 141, this specific Psalm of David, the second of a series of four laments, or known as laments. And I want to address you under the title, Watch Your Words, or Authentic Praying. How do we pray? Do we pray? Do we earnestly seek the Lord? What kind of praying do we engage in? And this is specifically relevant, of course, for those that are not yet converted, and I want to look at it evangelistically. And let me go straight to verse 1, where the opening words are, Lord, I cry unto thee. Now that word cry in the original, in a specific context, could be translated as accosted. It's that intense. It's that earnest, conveys this measure, this degree of earnestness and indeed urgency. And we'll see from the next words that's borne out in the term cry. Lord, I cry unto thee. I implore you. I earnestly beseech you. You see, authentic praying isn't something we engage in glibly and lightly. We have to come before God acknowledging, knowing indeed who he is, something at the very least of his transcendence, his majesty, his glory. And that's a very humbling thing. We couldn't come lightly before a God such as this if we understand anything of his superiority, his supremacy, his altogether differentness, his transcendence, his omnipotence, his omniscience, all that sets God apart as the one supreme, eternal, infinite being, all the glory of our God and his majesty. And David comes conscious. He's coming with a great need. He has a great sense of need at this specific time, but he comes so urgent. And again, with regards to salvation, we can't come glibly before God. We'll see in a moment, we have to come sincerely. We have to come with prepared words. We have to come with intelligible words, intelligent, in the sense of acknowledging and knowing what it is we're asking for and why we're asking for God's pardon and forgiveness and acceptance before him. But let's take it a little slower than I'm rushing through at the moment. Lord, I cry unto thee. I, as it were, accost you. I've come, why, earnestly. If I could see you, Lord, I would be at your feet. I would be urgent. I would be earnest. I would look into your eyes, as it were. I would implore. Of course, we're thinking now of Christ, the God-man. I would plead. I would be at your feet. Lord, I cry unto thee. Make haste unto me. Now that might sound a little bit like presumption after what I've just said. Here says David, hasten. Is he trying to rush God along? Can any person do that? If we are speaking reverently and with humility, and out of a sense of our own need and the majesty and glory of God, Well, yes, we can, we may do. We have it here before us. David, of course, is a pardoned individual. He comes as a child of God. He comes with a great need, and such is his need, he implores. He isn't demanding. He's asking. He's imploring, Lord, hasten unto me. And of course, with regards to our standing before the Lord, if we are not yet converted, to implore God to come, as it were, hastily, and hear our pleading, receive our prayer for pardon, indeed accept it, and Lord, respond to it. And I trust you are seeking the Lord and his pardon and forgiveness. I trust the joining us on Zoom and the hearing of the sermon and the message isn't just now part of a Sunday evening routine and is our little bit of religion that comforts us in some way, allows us that comfort blanket that I'm giving some sort of acknowledgement to my Creator and to my God. No, it must go beyond that. We have to be earnestly seeking him, beseeching him, imploring him. Yes, there is legitimacy, and it can be the right thing to do, to plead that he come and hasten his coming to receive you. Indeed, and there are many occasions when the child of God can seek the Lord and pray, O Lord, come swiftly, come quickly. We will acknowledge his will if he chooses to delay. But with regards to being converted, to becoming a child of God, looking at this evangelistically, that we might find God and be forgiven, of course we must plead. We must come urgently and earnestly. We must urge, as it were, the Lord, oh, come quickly, hear my prayer. Indeed, that's very legitimate. Lest our desire to be forgiven and pardoned pass. Some have given evidences and every indication that they are so earnest in their seeking of God and their desire to be forgiven by God. But it hasn't lasted very long. And soon that desire seems to have passed. The urgency is there no more. There is no beseeching. There is no pleading. No, they give up. They ceased. Perhaps it was but the whim of a moment, a temporary desire because of some crisis in life. No, if you are conscious of your need and do indeed desire God's pardon and forgiveness, desire to live for him, to know him, walk with him before the end of life, we cannot do it after we depart this world. No, it has to be now. If we're intending to live for him, then seek him urgently, seek him earnestly, plead to him to hear and to come hastily to pardon and forgive you. Why, time isn't on our side. God will accept that urgency. Indeed, you will be but honoring him if you say, O Lord, of course, if you mean it, come to my aid swiftly. Hear this prayer of true repentance. Lord, forgive me. Lord, pardon me. Lord, receive me. Lest indeed the desire pass, lest we be cut down suddenly. And that can happen to any of us, of course. And even if we are yet alive, we can also lose the capacity to reason No, we have a mind, we can hear, we can reason, we know our need, we are conscious, we trust of our guilt, then seek the Lord. Watch your words, authentic praying, Lord, I cry unto thee, make haste unto me. Give ear unto my voice when I cry unto thee. He's not just going to make noise. He's not going to babble. His voice is his words, framed words, words that come from a measure of understanding of his condition, of his state, of his need. And of course, David would be very conscious of this at the time. This is what's driven him to urgently seek the Lord. The knowledge of a condition, of a difficulty, an issue that must be dealt with quickly. And he's pleading with God to come and to be his help. Look at verse 2. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands. Now, there's striking pictures here in this particular verse. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense. Now, as you're aware, perhaps, there was in the tabernacle originally and then the temple, an altar that was known as the altar of incense. And incense was burned and offered upon that. It was indeed symbolic of the prayers of the Lord's people, of his interceding priests who would offer the incense on this particular altar. The prayers, the intercessions of the priest were, as it is depicted in the incense, that which was sweet smelling, like a perfume. These intercessions would rise up before God, as it were, as a sweet smelling incense. Indeed, you couldn't just offer up any old incense. This wasn't something that you might think, or we might say today, could be just bought and purchased, something you chose or you liked yourself. This couldn't be a concoction of the one seeking the priest's intercession. He couldn't make this perfume up and bring it to the priest, this incense, and say, offer that up for me. No, indeed, the incense that the priests were instructed to offer on the altar of incense, symbolic again of prayers of intercession, why, it was a very special and very precisely made and manufactured incense. Let me just read you some words from Exodus with regards to the incense that was offered. And God was very precise, because this teaches us a salutary lesson. And I'll make the application in a moment, but I'm reading from Exodus and chapter 30 and from verse 34. And the Lord said unto Moses, take unto thee sweet spices, stacte, and onca, and galbanum, these sweet spices with pure frankincense. Of each shall there be a like weight or equal measure. And thou shalt make it a perfume, a confection, after the art of the apothecary, tempered together, pure and holy. And thou shalt beat some of it very small, and put of it before the testimony in the tabernacle of the congregation, where I will meet with thee, it shall be unto you most holy. And as for the perfume which thou shalt make, ye shall not make to yourselves according to the composition thereof. It shall be unto thee holy for the Lord. Whosoever shall make like unto that, to smell thereto, shall even be cut off from the people. That is, this specifically directed, manufactured incense given by God himself, the instructions, the ingredients given by God, was to be used for no personal, no private application. This was a unique incense that was to be used in the tabernacle, then the temple. It was to be put on the incense, the altar of incense. Indeed, some would accompany or be offered up with the burnt offerings on the altar of burnt offering. Again, symbolizing prayer, intercession. Now, what we draw and conclude from this? Well, it emphasizes the point I'm trying or have tried to make. And it's like this. It's this, that we cannot come with unprepared prayers. We cannot come lightly. If our prayers are to ascend as a sweet smelling incense unto the Lord. And not every prayer does that, by the way. You know, some prayers are like what we might call bad breath prayers. Like someone with halitosis, it's not very pleasant. Or someone that's just eaten, oh, lots of garlic in a prepared meal. You might like garlic, but you don't want to have it blasted into your face from someone else. It's not terribly pleasant at all. And maybe other things, spices and spicy foods and so on. Well, you see, there's a kind of a praying that isn't acceptable to God. Have you prayed, as it were, prayers that might be unacceptable to the Lord? What kind of praying have you engaged in? How have you sought him? How have you come before him? David will not be presumptuous here. He pleads that his prayer might be set forth before the Lord as incense. His request, his petition, the manner he comes before his God, that he would do so humbly, that it would be like a sweet-smelling incense and savor, as his earnest, pleading, humble words, reverent words, prepared words, words from an understanding of his God and God's glory and majesty, his own need, his own unworthiness, his own humility before God. He beseeches God that his prayers may be set forth as an incense, and look, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice, that it might be in this context, this worshipping context, this context of need. We'll always be in need. But you know, our greatest need is the need of forgiveness, the need of pardon, that we might have a relationship with our God, that we might be adopted into his family, become the true children of God. Then when we pray, we go before him as his children. We pray, we beseech God as our Father. And I read that wonderful prayer that's known as the Lord's Prayer. When requested to be taught how to pray, he said to his disciples, "When ye pray, pray and say, Our Father." The very title of God that he gave them was one of intimacy, was one that would immediately bring to their minds love, affection, care, protection. God becomes our Father when we truly believe in Christ and we are adopted into his family. But we must seek him earnestly. We must come reverently and sincerely and pray. Pray. Pray repentant praying. Confession of our sin. Here is what is pleasing. Here is what ascends like a sweet incense before God himself. If we are not yet converted, we come confessing our sin. We come, you might think, well, that couldn't possibly be something pleasing. My sins, the things I've been guilty of in the past, things no one else knows anything about, and I wouldn't dare tell anyone about. I couldn't share these things with anyone, not my closest friend, not my husband, not my wife, not my parents, not my children, not my brother or sister, not my closest confidant. I couldn't mention some of the things that have gone through my mind, that have come out my mouth, that I've done. Oh, but they are. If you want God's forgiveness, you mustn't hold back. Aren't you glad you don't have to confess such things to another person, a mere man, some priest, some vicar? God doesn't want you to do that. No, he said, come directly to me. Confess your sins to him. He knows them all, even the ones you've forgotten, even those that you don't think are so hideous, but have been hideous to him, the infinitely pure and righteous God. Confess your sins to the Lord. He knows them all. And it will be as a sweet smelling incense, for you will be acknowledging God's view of you. You will be acknowledging what God has said about us all, that we have all sinned and come short of his glory, that we have all rebelled, that we're all guilty of the most heinous and hideous things in his sight. Of course, that prayer will be as sweet incense if we earnestly pray it. If we earnestly desire forgiveness, then pray and confess these things before him. Don't be flippant. Don't let there be missing from your prayer, because this would be like bad breath praying. Thankfulness. Thankfulness that he would hear you. Thankfulness that you can plead based on his own promises, forgiveness in Christ, that you can appeal because God is a God of mercy and pardon and grace, because God hasn't struck you down, because you're not lost yet. You're not where there will be no prayers as ever offered up to God, and if there were, would never be heard by him. No, we must pray here, in this world, this life. Here is the time. Here is the day of grace. Here is the day of opportunity. Pray, confess, thank him for his mercy, his long-suffering, his patience. Do not just pray at a time of crisis, a specific need, as many do? Are these not bad breath prayers, where there's no desire really to be forgiven and to have a new nature and a new life and to walk with God? No, it's, Lord, just help me. Just get me out of this predicament. Just deliver me from this crisis. Just change this situation I'm in, or my circumstances, and make them more pleasant. No, you must come first. Pray earnestly. Pray fervently. As the picture suggests, this is praying. And offering our prayers. Chosen words. Words of understanding. Words of acceptance. I am guilty. Lord, I need your pardon. I need your forgiveness. Well, I must go a little bit quicker. Look at verse 3. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Well, I have in effect dealt with that. But just one added application from this. And it's this. Your words, if we use the picture here, are your emissaries that go into God's presence. You're sending forth your emissaries. Your words are going before the omnipotent King, are going before the Almighty. Now David says, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Put a guard on my mouth. Let the guards, as they would in those times, as they would still, I suppose in the contemporary and modern way, they would challenge you. If you got through the gates of Buckingham Palace and you were about to go in through the main door, if I put it like that, one of those soldiers on guard is going to challenge you. He's going to step in front of you. He's going to raise that gun and he's going to ask what your business is, who you are. You imagine in David's day, in the times of the potentates back then, you couldn't just approach the king any time you felt like it and march up and demand to see him. Why, if you got past even outer guards and got anywhere near the king, there would be those standing and you would be confronted and challenged. What's your business with the king? Well, of course, David is picturing such here in verse 3. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Let those guards challenge my words. Let me look at the words. Let me examine what I'm going to say. Now he's speaking in the context of, I want to be careful what I'm going to say, the commands I'm going to give. He's in a particular situation. He must respond to it as the king, chief of the army and so forth. But in the context of praying and seeking pardon and forgiveness and acceptance with God, a new heart, a new nature, new life, salvation, in other words. Well, look at it like this, Lord. Let me know. Let me search. Let me examine my words. Let me be quite specific. Let me be clear. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Let me not come praying wrongly, praying flippantly, praying glibly, praying in just a time of crisis. Oh, you may do that and find help and mercy. He's a merciful God. But you know the first prayer he wants to hear the most important prayer you'll ever pray, in a very real sense, is that prayer of repentance, confessing your sin, confessing your guilt, and seeking God's mercy and God's forgiveness. That will be like a sweet-smelling incense before God. That's what he desires the sinner pray. That's what he urges you to do. He wants you to come, bring words, come and plead, seek forgiveness. He's provided in Christ. The very first word someone said of the very first sermon that's recorded of our Savior, of our Lord Jesus Christ, was the word repent. Repent of your sin. Come, Lord, I repent. Cast yourself on the mercy of God in Christ. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Don't let the words you speak be words only of complaint. Words of challenge, challenging God's ways, challenging God's wisdom, challenging God's power. That won't get us anywhere. No, let them be words of repentance, confessing we don't understand. Have we said foolish things in the past? Have we abused, misused the name of God, taken his name in vain? Confess, repent of such. The Lord will not hold them guiltless that taketh his name in vain. O my God, as many express it, isn't thought to be a very serious thing. This may be one of the most serious sins you've committed. If you've ever used God's name like that, or flippantly or lightly, or Jesus, or Christ, the Lord says, I will not hold them guiltless that taketh my name in vain. No, that's something to be repented of. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Put guards there. Well, that's good to pray that at all times, any time. How we need guards upon our lips to guard the words we say. How many we have hurt and wounded and cursed and threatened and mocked and scoffed by our words. How many are more verbally abused than physically abused? The physically abused run into millions. The verbally abused into billions. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth, and keep the door of my lips. Notice next, there's a danger to be avoided. David didn't want to be dragged down. He didn't want to lose the help of God and the favor of God. He's beseeching God for his help, for his aid. He has pleaded and he has reasoned. He has requested, hasten to help me. But look at verse 4. Incline not my heart to any evil thing, or don't let me be led. Don't let me be influenced into any evil thing. To practice wicked works with men that work iniquity, and let me not eat of their dainties. No, I'll put these two verses together for time, because our time is almost up. Let the righteous smite me. It shall be a kindness. And let him reprove me. It shall be excellent oil, which shall not break my head. For yet my prayer also shall be in their calamities. Now just putting these two verses together, David says, don't let me do that or be influenced by others that would take the legitimacy out of my prayers, out of my request. I don't want to be led in the wrong direction, influenced to do the wrong thing, respond in a wrong way. Incline not my heart, let me not be inclined to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men that work iniquity. Now there are others, and there are people around us who may influence, who may lead us in the wrong way. We have to be upright before God. We have to come earnest. And this is the sense I mean upright. You can't save yourself. You can't make yourself good enough. No, indeed, just come as you are, as a guilty sinner. But don't be influenced. Don't be misled. Don't be taken away with a false theology. No, or be greatly influenced and distracted and diverted from the truth, from the way of righteousness, the way of life, indeed the way that many go. No, we must concur with the scripture and the words of God, what he's clearly set before us and what he's told us to do to find forgiveness and acceptance. Why, it's almost an appeal that the Lord would break the power of innate or natural inclination to that which is pleasing to a fallen and carnal mind or a godless mind. Let me not accept my place among the masses that are alienated from you, Lord. Let me not become so disillusioned, so disinterested, so misled that my earnest seeking of God will result in nothing, that God won't hear, and if he hears, he won't respond. I can't let myself get despondent. I can't turn to fellow men, the ungodly, for my comfort, for my help. I must persist in my seeking of God. I must press onward. I must plead with him. Again, hasten, Lord, your help. Hear my prayer. Lord, what's lacking in my seeking of forgiveness and acceptance before you? Lord, bring it to me. Empower me. Help me to truly repent and to truly believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let the righteous smite me. No, instead of being misled, instead of turning to the wrong sources and counsel, instead of listening to my own deceitful heart that will easily give up in its seeking, Lord, rather, let the righteous smite me. It shall be a kindness. David says, oh, yes, the kisses of the ungodly, misleading, flattering, sweet for a moment. Lord, I'd rather though be smitten by the righteous. I'd rather have them expose my guilt and tell me of my guilt. I'd rather be convicted of my sins and have pointed out to me the error of my ways, that I might earnestly plead and present my case. that I might truly confess my sins, that I might know your forgiveness and your pardon. I will accept the smiting of the righteous, the exposure of my wrongdoing. I won't argue. I won't reject it. I won't seek to justify myself. Lord, don't let it happen. Let me hear the godly counsel, that I might seek you earnestly and find your pardon. Have you prayed earnestly? Have you genuinely sought the Lord and called upon him? It's his promise that if you seek him with all your heart, you will truly find him. He will reveal himself. He will respond in pardoning grace. He will forgive you your sins. Why would you wait? Time isn't on your side. When, if not now, will you repent? Will you call upon him? Will you come conscious of your need? Are you conscious now? Oh, thank the Lord for that. Cast yourself upon him. Seek him and his pardoning love. Find him a God who hears the prayer of the penitent, of those who do indeed earnestly seek him. Ask that your prayer might be set forth as incense. If it's the prayer of confession, if you have a sincere desire to be right with God and to walk with him and live for him, it will be acceptable to him. That's all he asks. That's all he demands. Repent and believe. Be forgiven. Be a new person in Christ. Let's sing our closing hymn. It's 395.